Hey, guess what? It's Monday night.
And I'm freaking here right in the studio.
Right here. It is so good to have you so close at hand to push all the little buttons and stuff like that.
Break it too.
Yeah, well, and if you broke it, you fix it. All righty. Well, tonight, our guest is Harry Dunn on Voice Over Body Shop. We're going to talk about promo. Mm-hmm. And he's a producer, and he produces demos too. So we're going to have all sorts of cool stuff to talk about with that.
That's awesome. A producer's perspective. That's something you don't get that often.
From the other side of the glass. Yeah. What's up? And we've got a tech update.
Well, this one might be a little bit scary, a little foreboding, maybe just a little bit interesting, but a little bit of news from Google, which could be interesting to voice actors.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about noise floor, since people keep asking about that. Mm-hmm. And your questions to us and our guests, so stay tuned. Voice Over Body Shop is coming right up.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is Voiceover Body Shop.
Voiceover Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, remote connections made even easier. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. J. Michael Collins Demos, award-winning demo production. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voiceover website won't be a pain in the butt. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Yeah. Wow, we got a crowd here tonight.
We do.
Good to see. Yeah. Good to have people in here. You could be in here if you wanted to be here. Not a problem. Alrighty. Well, tonight, Harry Dunn is with us.
That's right.
Should be fascinating talking about promo. You know, it's kind of a narrow niche of voiceover, but it's a powerful and high-paying one.
And he came here from Culver City by way of Burbank to get right to our studio. It took him like 2 hours to get here through the whole thing. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah. So we're going to treat him like royalty.
That's right.
Unlike all our other guests. But anyway, we also have some tech stuff we're going to talk about because that's what the show's about. And we have our live studio audience tonight. So why don't we get the audience cam on there? No audience cam tonight. Didn't have time to set up the audience cam. It looks like four guys out there.
There's... four men with long, they're all wearing jeans, and their legs are crossed at the knees.
Yes, yeah, because it's been cold here all week. I mean, it was cold and cloudy. It was, you know, I was up in Monterey, California for my son's graduation. It was cold and cloudy.
It was.
It's not California.
I was in San Mateo, which is where the
even
airport
farther
is,
north. Yeah,
and it was like 55 and gloomy all afternoon. But yeah, it was fine weather for what we were doing. I was at Maker Faire.
Yeah. Now, of course, we thought it was going to be cloudy for the graduation. So did I bring a hat? No. So the sea fog separates just long enough.
And give you a head burn.
And you can see the head's just a little redder than it was before. Fortunately, I had the program to put on my head.
Man, it figures.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
Always be ready.
Yes. Anyway, it is May 21st, and now time for...
VoiceOver Body Shop presents the VOBS VoiceOver Extra News. All the information you need for a successful voiceover career.
All righty. For May 21st, 2018, #VoiceStrong. In the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of things.
By the way, the name of our prompter is, what's it called again, Dan?
So Smart Prompt. Okay, in the grand scheme of voice of the voiceover business, where exactly do you as a voice actor stand or sit? Yes, we're crucial to a project's success, but let's face it, we're a commodity in a competitive business. Enjoy the creative work, but probably always on the lookout for the next client, the next job. And we're continually whipsawed by technology that is upending how we get those clients and jobs and what they pay.
Well, much has been said and written about the trend of declining pay and how to cope, like price your services as a business and reflect your true value. Is that influencing and helping you? A new movement called #VoiceStrong seeks to push this forward, to give voice talent to a better standing and get a better standing in this biz.
Now, you know, Eric Shepard, my agent, as a talent agent, a former voice actor and coach. And you may also know that he's also a founding member and president of the VO Agent Alliance, the VOAA, which Eric describes as an organization fighting for fairness and ethics in the voiceover industry. Eric tells us, we're still under assault on many fronts, and talent are suffering as a consequence.
Is that Eric?
That's what he sounds like.
I'm so confused. Take a look and listen to Eric's new video about #VoiceStrong, and you can search for it now on YouTube. No, after the show. Or also catch it now on VoiceOver Extra, along with a Q&A with Eric about how you can get involved with this. Here are some highlights from that Q&A. First, what's the goal of #VoiceStrong, Eric?
Well, it's about empowering people to make change. The end goal would be for so many to insist on fair treatment that it's once again normal for the majority of jobs to be decent.
All right. Who are the originators or organizers of this?
Well, I started using it a while ago, and the VOAA uses it constantly, but it belongs to everyone who gives a damn. The movement and logo is for the entire industry. We want and need more agents and producers and casting directors and managers and everyone on that side of the glass on board. But voice talent are the key.
Okay, well, what can we do?
Well, here's the thing. Voice actors are the service providers and hold a lot of power because of that. But many people are easily manipulated and taken advantage of. The mindset is to serve, to take direction, to be easy to work with. But those traits don't help in negotiations. So it's my hope that the #VoiceStrong message empowers voice actors to really make a change. People have to stand strong. Start using the #VoiceStrong logo and hashtag in social media, on your emails, everywhere to get the message out.
Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome.
The link to download the logo is at voagentalliance.com/voicestrong. And you can also see that link plus Eric's video on the full Q&A now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success.
And I am probably going to be shred off of his roster after that. So
it's always a good test of your connection to your agent to pull that kind of stuff off.
Yeah. If he would only answer his phone, that would really be something. But anyway, so what's up in tech? Something scary from Google, I hear.
Oh, man. It's getting scarier all the time, folks. Well, the latest thing from Google is something they call Duplex. Yeah. It's new technology. It seems to be, and it's like, let's wow them with an impressive demo, but it's not actually going to work in the real world stage for probably a couple of years.
Right.
So, but before I go too much further into explaining what the heck it is, let me play this quick little sample of a demo here from Google's, their what they call their developers conference or something like that. So here it goes. Here's the CEO. I think this is Sundar Pichai or something like that.
The progress with the assistant. As I said earlier, our vision for our assistant is to help you get things done. It turns out a big part of getting things done is making a phone call. You may want to get an oil change schedule, maybe call a plumber in the middle of the week, or even schedule a haircut appointment. You know, we are working hard to help users through those moments. We want to connect users to businesses in a good way. Businesses actually rely a lot on this, but even in the US, 60% of small businesses don't have an online booking system set up. we think AI can help with this problem. So let's go back to this example. Let's say you want to ask Google to make you a haircut appointment on Tuesday between 10 and noon. What happens is the Google Assistant makes the call seamlessly in the background for you. So what you're going to hear is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
Hello, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
Everybody is very, very impressed with the computer and its ability to respond in real time to a human.
We're screwed.
And have the human be fooled into thinking the human is talking to a computer. So this is kind of a scary new world, right? Because not only does it mean we can be talking to computers at any time and not know it, but by extension, does that mean that this technology of being able to synthesize and respond in conversation mean that it's so good that it's going to take over for voice acting?
How much subtlety can those things have? I mean, it can copy intonation and stuff like that, but there's just, it doesn't have that human connection. What do they call that? Where it's like not quite human.
Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley. It's the uncanny I knew you'd valley. Remember that.
So yes. The uncanny valley is like, that point where you get so close, but you never quite get there.
Right.
I think we're going to get there quicker with voice than with CGI, but that's my guess.
Yeah.
The thing is, so what they're demonstrating is really more about the AI than it is about the voice synthesis. Mm-hmm. And what they don't really tell you in that demo is that voice and actually, is that a synthesized voice? Or is that a whole bunch of samples of a person talking that they have preloaded into a computer so it just cues up the right phrase and plays it back? We don't know that, right?
Right.
We don't know because we can't.
And they're not
they don't tell you and they ain't going to tell you. But so those two different things mean very different things. If it's voice synthesis, that's not good. Because if they can synthesize a voice that sounds that real, there's going to be a lot of reasons maybe not to hire voice actors for those kinds of lower level, low budget jobs.
Right.
However, if that's actually a strung together series of pre-sampled phrases,
they're going to want lots of different
voices.
That's
a lot of voice actors going to, have
saying,
work.
Yes,
creating,
no, maybe.
Yes. Not fun work, but still work nonetheless.
Work is work.
So I'm really curious to see which way this goes. My gut tells me it's really about voice. It's really going to be about voice synthesis taking over a lot of the sort of the lower end of the spectrum of voice work. I mean, the really mundane stuff where it's really kind of mechanical, the reading of a textbook or user manuals or something for the blind or something. Those are probably going to be more likely synthesized. Hmm. I think it's going to be budget driven.
Well, everything's always budget driven.
Yeah. But, I mean, we still have amazing live scoring stages where when you go to a theater to see a big blockbuster, not only just big blockbusters, but even some lower budget features, you still expect to hear a real orchestra.
Right.
And I don't know about you, I can still tell when the strings are synthesized or sampled or the horn section is sampled. I can still tell. And people that care know the difference.
Right.
So just like in the music business, there's still a market for live musicians playing real instruments in a theater or in a hall or in a scoring stage. I think that's just always going to be the same for voiceover.
God willing, and the Greek don't rise.
If you're going to have all that inflection and all, someone has to sit there and code all that. Someone has to make the computer sound human, a human has to code the computer to do all that. So it's extremely laborious. You know, it's going to be a long time before that really takes over.
Right. So the jobs are in programming.
and
have been for some time.
If you're a voice actor, maybe just take up a side gig of coding. Maybe that's what maybe the takeaway.
And I know a lot of people that do that.
But that's Google Duplex. I don't think we're seeing it anytime really soon, but the fact that they're showing it and giving it a name already, a product name, means they're pretty serious about it. So I don't know. Just keep an eye about it. It's good to know what's available and what tools are coming along.
Cool.
You know.
All right. Well, I'm not scared yet. I don't think it's
shouldn't gonna, be. You shouldn't be. All not right. If you're great at your craft, you're gonna keep getting hired by those that care about quality.
And that's what matters. All right. Well, we got lots more coming up. Harry Dunn is our guest in just a little bit, about 15 minutes. And we've got lots. We got questions. We got stuff to talk about. So stay right here at VoiceOver Body Shop. We'll be right back.
Yep. This is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days.
Yeah. Hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
All right. What question do we get most often? Well, far and away, it's how do I even get started in voiceover? And we have a great answer to that question. Take VO2GoGo's free Getting Started in VO class. You heard right. It's free. It's available online 24/7 at gettingstartedinvo.com. That's gettingstartedinvo.com. Now, if you've been watching VOBS and thinking that you need to get in gear and start your own voiceover career, this is the class to take. So, tell you what. If you've been watching and you know that this is where you've got to start, this is where you got to start, right? Okay. So you'll learn about the vocal skills you need, the storytelling skills you need, the equipment you need, and the business skills you need, all in one single comprehensive online class taught by VO2GoGo's David H. Lawrence, the 17th. Okay. Well, now this class won the Backstage Reader's Choice Award 4 years in a row. And again, there's no charge. It's absolutely free. Want to take it? Of course you do. Go on over there right now. It's at gettingstartedinvo.com. That's gettingstartedinvo.com.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
All right, and we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and
George Whittem.
That's right. And one of the things that we do that fills our day is helping people with their home voiceover studios.
Some days more than others.
And some hours more than
others.
Today
was one of those full days.
Oh, okay. So, but it's an exciting business because it's fun to teach and it's fun to get people up and running and making sure that their audio sounds the way it's supposed to sound.
Yes.
As opposed to broadcast quality or some of these other terms. People love to throw terms around. Mm-hmm. We take all those terms and we throw them in the garbage. And we talk about what it's really supposed to sound like and get you there in the easiest way.
Yeah.
And if they want to get some help from you, where do they go?
You can go over to georgethetech.com, georgethetech.com, however you say. What is the proper way of saying the or the?
Depends on the context, I guess.
Well, in this context, we'll say georgethetech.com.
Okay.
That's where you can find me on the web. You can hire me by the minute, by the hour, or
by the
do
minute?
Flat rate services.
Cool.
Well, not quite the minute.
All right.
15 minutes.
Super.
How about you, Dan?
Well,
where do they find you?
If they want to find me,
They
may find me. They may not, depending on what's going on.
Just grating and annoying.
Yeah, they may on occasion, but they can go to my website, which is homevoiceoverstudio.com, and you'll find all the things that I talk about and how I can help you and teach you how to record properly here in this amazing voiceover business. And you can drop off a specimen of your audio to see if you're doing it right. And if not, then we'll have to talk.
That's right. So let's get to it, because we got a bunch of questions that came in.
We do.
You know
do.
What you ask and you shall receive.
All right. Really, well, let's go to the first question then. We'll talk about the noise floor thing in the second part of this.
Cool.
All right. So the first question comes from
Tim Ratledge.
And he asks,
what is your take on tube traps to absorb low frequencies? Thanks. Tube traps. So in a nutshell, a tube trap is a cylindrical tube-shaped thing, also known as a tube.
That stands
usually in corners, but you can create a wall with these things as well, but they're usually in corners. And it's designed to absorb and suck up low frequency.
Right.
My take on them. Well, I haven't used them that often. I think it's because, one, they're generally pretty expensive. And two, my understanding at least, is that they have to be tuned to a specific frequency.
So they have to be made out of special materials, or they have to be adjusted or turned, or what?
The ones that I'm aware of are just, it's a cardboard, basically a cardboard tube. You wrap it in carpet so it looks nice, mm-hmm. but it's cut to a specific length.
Oh, okay.
So that the sound it wants to absorb is resonating in there, and then it's filled with sound insulation.
Right.
I'm actually not an expert on tube traps, to be honest, I'm not. But it's mainly because every time I've looked into them, I've just found them to be relatively complicated and expensive compared to just really simple things like bass traps. Tube traps are for specific frequencies, whereas you can get a big super chunk corner bass trap or foam bass traps that absorb the whole range of frequencies, you know, that are full range.
Right.
And for voiceover, that's mostly really all you need, because you're trying to control the whole spectrum, not just bass.
Right. And something like that is really for a big sound studio where you've got lots of different instruments and lots of different things going on, and they want to tune a specific part of the room.
Yeah.
And that's why they're expensive, because they go in expensive studios.
Yeah.
And so someone trying to adapt it, again, some musical type of device to voiceover, isn't really necessary. Unless, of course, someone gives you some.
Yeah,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe that's why he's asking.
If you stumbled on some, if you saw a studio going out of business or who knows what, and you got some to play with.
Do it up.
Yeah, let us know what kind of experience you have with them. But I think Vicoustic makes a tunable one where you actually can adjust the length of it and
sort
play with it.
Like a collapsible cup.
Kind of, yeah. But again, Boy Scout camp. Pretty pricey. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that. Gerard McGuire says, setting levels in Twisted Wave for audiobooks. Audiobook narrations come with wide dynamics. Of course, if you're doing character voices.
Right.
But ACX demands a level of -3 to -23. RMS, important detail. RMS and a peak of -3. So should you aim for a minimal soft level of -23? Is there a downside of having levels between, say, -35? And -25, and then mastering to ACX specs? In other words, is there any critical loss of audio quality by amplifying a sound file?
Well.
No. No, there's not. So,
as long as you don't overmodulate.
Yeah. You're not a computer, and you're not going to record, unless you have an unbelievable classical voice dynamic control, and you know how to read and maintain a specific volume average throughout the entire duration of a book.
Like you just did?
Kind of, I was trying to demonstrate that. Unless you're going to do that with your voice, everybody is going to require level control. That's what mastering is for. Its job is to correct for the fact that you are a human, you do have dynamic range in your voice,
right.
And that people are going to be listening to your beautiful dynamic range in horrible listening environments, like subway trains, you know, buses and stuff like that.
And a pair of crappy headphones.
Yeah, so they have to be able to hear the most quiet line and passage at an acceptable volume. You guys watch movies at night sometimes, right, with your spouse, and if someone has a hand on the remote because they're always, I can't hear the dialogue, and then they're turning it up and up.
And then
and
a
up
commercial
and up and
comes
up.
On.
And then, well, not even a commercial, just like there's a loud scene, and you're like, oh my God, it's too loud. Turn it down, turn it down. That's dynamic range. In films and in theatrical stuff, we want that. Right. We want that drama, that intense, but not in an audiobook. We want to compress it down and make it listenable in any environment. So the long answer is no, you can record at low levels, bring it up later in post. There will be no loss of quality.
But not really low. I mean, you still have to have good modulation on there.
Recorded 24-bit.
Yeah.
I have found that if you record in 24-bit, the dynamic range is preserved. You can record with levels peaking much, much lower than you do at 16-bit. We always say record with peaks at -6. But if you're recording in 24-bit, the equivalent is actually like recording at peaks of -50. I'm not saying you should do that. That would be annoying to edit. The waveform would be microscopic. It'd be stupid. But you can, the bottom line is if you record 24-bit, you can record with levels peaking at like -12, -10, no problem. No loss of quality or results. So.
Now, this next question is rather entertaining.
I need some entertainment.
From Jackie Bale. She says, "Hi guys, as summer approaches, a bunch of us ladies were discussing how to stay cool in the booth when it's sweltering. I suggested having George make a stack to high-pass filter out the AC noise.
Yeah, well.
Now, some suggested wearing wet clothing. Absolutely. Or nearly no clothing at all. Even better. No laughing at this serious question. Would anything that creates dampness be a bad idea for microphones?"
Yes.
Somehow I think dousing yourself with water in your booth has a number of drawbacks.
It does. Like moistening your copy.
Right.
Dripping on things.
Yeah.
They make all kinds of like neck. There's like these scarves that you soak and put in the
cooling things.
And they cool you for an hour.
Right.
Something like that would be okay because it's keeping that coolness in one specific area around the neck, you know, which is pretty effective.
Right.
And you might keep like maybe have two or three of them and you just rotate them throughout the day.
Right. But if it gets too warm in your booth and you don't have ventilation, you take the knob of the door and you go like this a few times. You're good for another 10, 15 minutes.
It's an enormous circulating fan, opening and closing the doors.
Sucking air in, pulling it out.
Fresh air in, it's the cheapest way to fix that problem.
Okay.
I mean, yes, if you do have air conditioning, sometimes we can tune out the hum. And we'll talk, actually, we have a little sample of that.
Yes.
We'll show you some hum that you can tune out using software. But it's not good to have any moisture near a microphone. Do some people bring ice packs into the booth or even a little cooling machines? Cooling machines, nothing I know of are quiet enough. Yeah. They're too quiet, too noisy. Again, the ice pack thing I was talking about, look for those cool neck scarf thingies.
Right.
Look for cooling towels, scarves or cooling towels, whatever. Try something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. Usually you find them at like auto parts stores for mechanics because that's what they wear. Interesting place to find
them. True, actually, yeah.
Okay. Fred North, who happens to be with us tonight, joining us from... Drove all the
Should
way from Redondo
Beach.
I
mean, the microphone is right over.
Is it there? Well, that one's
actually
not.
Actually, it's right. There it is.
No, the handheld is right behind Mr. Hankler there.
Right, Denny's.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
We can answer it in the flesh.
Yes.
Why not?
Because we actually have the presentation to show here.
Fred, what's that question?
It was a noise floor question.
My
noise floor, when everything's off, is about -69. When the AC or the heat kicks on, it's about -59. Is that a frequency thing that I can cancel out like you're talking about? Or do I need not to even worry about it at -59?
Well, you know, that's a great question.
It leads in perfectly to what we were talking about.
Yeah. So now here in DAWview 2018, we're going to show you exactly what Fred was asking about. So fire that up. Okay, here is Adobe Audition. And here is a typical audio track from a friend of mine. Audio track.
Gotta stop the video playing we can play your video back.
Okay.
A second.
All right.
Let's just kill the audio from that guy. Go away. Okay. There we go.
Well, that makes it easy. Now.
Life gives you a whole lot to live for. And with Quantum Healthcare, the area's largest health partner, it's never been easier to live for it all.
Okay.
And loving
but at the
life
end,
for a lifetime.
Okay. Now you can see in the meter here that there's not a whole lot going on there. There's a noise floor of about -55, -54 tops.
Right, and I'll make it clear that this isn't a good demo for audio because our show is processed a lot.
Right.
So you're not going to hear the little subtleties of the noise floor. This is more about what you can see
right
in the spectral view, which we're about to take a look at.
And here, there it is.
Yeah.
And as you can see, now, with this person's voice, all of this noise that's there is down below, underneath 100 hertz.
Around 100 is where it kicks in.
Right. And if you play this, you're not going to hear anything. It's going to be thump, 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 thump.
All there is like an occasional little thumpy sound or something.
Right, which actually were some plosives that she was throwing in there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it's not really a problem because it's real easy to throw a high-pass filter in here. Now, in Adobe Audition, all you do is you highlight that stuff and it's gone.
Boom. It's a pretty
right.
hardcore high-pass filter.
Right, and then, you know, what kind of a noise floor do you have when you do that? Nothing.
Practically nothing.
Practically
so
nothing.
So the point of that experiment is to show you that, yes, you can probably use a high pass filter to filter out some of that low end rumble. But if it low, in that case, a lot of that low end rumble was higher than 60. In fact, you can actually see a horizontal line at 60 hertz, and then you can see a little bit of a fainter one at 120. That's usually caused by a fan or a motor or an air conditioner or something running in the building, creating that 60 hertz hum, which you can't hear very well, but the harmonic at 120 is quite audible. So I find that a little notch of an EQ at 120 often takes care of it really well. But sometimes for men's voices, you have a deep voice. If you try to high pass filter it out, it thins out the low end of the voice a lot.
Right.
So you may have to use a combination of a notch filter, a high pass filter maybe, downward expander, which you can set for a range of 10 dB. So if the input is minus 59, you can have it come out at minus 69. And if you set these things correctly, they're pretty darn seamless. Like, people wouldn't know you were processing anything. But I find it's never just one tool. To me, it seems to be a combination of tools to make right. it work.
And,
well.
And it depends on the voice.
Absolutely.
Everybody's voice is different, and some people have... Everybody's vocal cords are different, like fingerprints.
And sometimes I'll set up a processing for somebody, and I have a pretty aggressive high pass, and it takes out that fundamental, very bottom octave.
Right.
Usually men. Right. Women don't complain about this.
Take it down just a little
and then
bit.
I tweak it, you know, and they're like, I'm missing that low end on my voice. And I'm like, it's not something that's necessarily important to the product, but to the voice actor, when you lose it, you're like, I want the bottom end on my voice again, you know, so...
And there you go.
I have to be sensitive to that.
All right. Well, Harry Dunn is sitting patiently by with a bottle of beer in his hand, and we'll talk about promo and how his demos and talking about what it takes to really be great at promo voices. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on Voice Over Body Shop.
Beer me.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Hey everybody, well, I'd like to tell you about one of our wonderful sponsors, that is Source Elements. They are those great creators of Source Connect, which is a fantastic tool for bringing your studio's audio into that commercial studio, that network, whatever it is that's recording you. It's a tool you need to have in your toolbox these days to be competitive, to be able to work at a high level, to be able to work with those big studios around the world. Source Connect has to be in your arsenal, and it's not that expensive to do because you no longer have to buy it outright. You can actually now sort of rent it or use it, pay for it on a subscription basis. It's gotten a lot less expensive. It's probably cheaper than you think. If you want to go check it out, go to source-elements.com. Sign up for a 15-day free trial of Source Connect Standard. You don't have to have one of those little pesky iLock things anymore to use Source Connect. Don't worry about that. You just have to have an iLock account, which is free, and you can start trying it out right away. I set it up today for Terra Strong. So it's something that everybody from someone doing small local commercials to the Terra Strongs of the world are using, and it's a fantastic tool. Give it a try, and we'll be right back here with Dan and Harry.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alazraki, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
All righty, Harry, working network promo producer and teaches voiceover from the point of view of a promo producer, knowing the ins and outs of what works and what fails with self-directed auditions. As senior producer for network television, he's been in charge of promo campaigns for a multitude of shows. One of his jobs is to direct and discover voiceover talent. That's his point of view with his private coaching, the perspective of the on-air producer. And let's welcome to our show, Harry Dunn.
Thank you very much.
We got to get a band. You know, there's no question about it.
We'll just stick them right over there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll stuff them in the closet. We'll
play. I'm good right here. So, thank you for having me on your show. I feel like I'm in an episode of Fight Club here, only instead of the Ed Norton, Brad Pitt split personality, we've got the Dan Leonard, Eric Shepard split personality. So, yes. I want you to feel comfortable to go from personality to personality. Whatever your schizophrenic mind takes you to, I'm there for you all the way.
Totally appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got so many good stories about Eric, too. Exactly. Anyway. So where are you from originally?
I am originally from Detroit, Michigan. The home of rock and roll, according to Bob Seger. So, and I was born and raised there. I went to University of Michigan for 2 years, and then I got accepted into the film school at USC, and I transferred out here and got my degree from there, and... After I graduated, I worked for Roger Corman. I drove him around. Roger Corman had three cars. He had a Lotus, he had a Corvette, and he had a foreign town and country station wagon.
And gotta go to the beach and something.
And the two cars would always be in the shop, and I always would drive him around in his foreign town and country station wagon. That was my first job out of college. Okay. So, and then I went to work for a place called Canon Films, which back in the day were the king of the B-movie filmmakers, okay? They did just all the Chuck Norris missing in action movies and all that stuff. And that is where I became a trailer editor. The first time I ever cut film on a Steenbeck back in the day. And that's where my first experience with voiceover, because there was two guys we'd hire for every trailer. It was either Don LaFontaine or Mark Elliott, and they both would come in. And there I was, a 23-year-old guy directing Don LaFontaine, asking him for an insurance take.
And what look did he give you?
And then he read the exact same way, and I went, perfect.
Thanks, Don.
So, and then, throughout the course of my career, I finally decided to go into network promo, and I've been working in it since probably the year 2000. And right now I'm a senior producer at one of our wonderful networks, just doing shows and promoting shows and cutting the promos and writing the promos and, yes, directing the voiceover for the promos. So that's why I got into the coaching business. Is just, there's a point of view that I think gets missed when in certain lessons. There's value to a talent teaching it because they have the experience of doing it. But what you really don't know is, when you make your audition, what gets heard? What are the people on my end of the wall listening to? What are the ins and outs? What are the pitfalls that cost you your job? And that's what I teach, how to not get nexted. That's my expression. And nexted means you're listening to 60 auditions and 8 words into one you hate and you go, next. So the trick is how to not get nexted. Okay, that's what I teach. How's that for technical know-how?
I'm going to make a note of that. That's pretty good.
I like
good.
That.
Yeah. Now, I think a lot of people get confused when they hear the word producer, because I think it probably means different things, especially to different producers and stuff. But tell us what all that's entailed in the promo business. I mean, you were telling us that you do this, that, and the other thing. But
well, a producer, in the olden days when there was more money to be had, they would have a editor and a writer, and that'd be two salaries. But it became cost prohibitive for the network, so they combined them into one, a writer-producer, meaning you write the scripts, you edit the scripts and you do the producing of it, meaning you follow through on the graphics, you follow through on the voiceover, you follow through on all the elements before it goes to air. You know, you supervise all the elements as they happen. So that's why the word producer.
Mm-hmm. So you work with the staff or you're doing it all by yourself?
I'm doing it all by myself. There's really? 10 of us over, and we all do the same thing. And we each have different shows. My show this year was something called Jane the Virgin. I worked on all 22 of those promos. Wow. And it was great. It's a wonderful show. Beautifully written. And I enjoyed it very much.
Now, our good friend Anthony Mendez is on that.
Anthony Mendez. I have directed him on many, many, many projects at the for Jane the Virgin, including an upfront and a sizzle reel and a station summit piece. And we even had him brought him in for two of the promos for this past season. So he's been quite an asset.
And yeah. I think now we're going to have to make you describe or define what all of those jargons you just threw out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's a few of us that don't know what all that stuff
means. I can't even remember what some of them were.
Okay.
Yeah. An upfront.
An upfront just happened last Thursday. And what happens is every network goes to New York to announce their fall lineup. What are the new shows? What are the returning shows? And the people in attendance are the media buyers and the ad executives. Mm. And the point of it is the president of a network will go there and they'll announce all the shows. For the new shows, they'll show presentation pieces, like 4-minute presentation pieces, because you want to get the media buyers and the ad executives to buy advertising up front to help finance
the production of the show.
So it's just a great way to get upfront money for advertising to help offset the budgets.
And
so it's called upfront.
A sizzle reel.
What's that? I'm sure a lot of people audition for over the day. It's a sizzle reel in promo is it's not for a show really. It's for a network. You might put together a 2-minute sizzle reel, which an upfront will start with a sizzle reel showing all the great stuff that's happened over the course of the past season. You do it to a slamming piece of music with some cool graphics, and it's a great way to start the day. Nice. Okay.
All righty. We had Dan Nachtrab on last week. Did I pronounce that right?
Pretty darn good.
Okay, good. And he gave us a lot on how he works. Tell us the essence of what promo really is, because it might be different things to different people, but we see it every day when we're watching network TV and it comes up to the break. Okay, you know, when I'm trying to fast forward, okay, there's the promo. All right, promo's over, boom. And back into the show. But what it,
thanks
what,
DVR.
Yes.
It really is about, you know what, sometimes you can't sit for an hour to watch a show if you don't know what the show's about, if you're not committed to it. But if you watch the promo and it looks really good, then you'll DVR it or you'll watch it live. You know, I mean, think about all the eyeballs at HBO and Showtime, and now Netflix is getting with their promos. Our network, you know, that's a big part of what we do is our promos. And when we sell a show to Hulu, sell a show to Netflix, the promos are part of the package, so mm-hmm. they can be repurposed.
So what is it that goes into making, say, so you're working with on Jane the Virgin, how many will you do in a day?
Or just one a week.
One a week.
Okay. Well, the shows actually have to be made before I can promote them. So
okay.
They come in about once a week. So
you have the time to do all of those different tasks that come in.
Of course, writing, yes.
What goes into writing it? How is it that you present that show so that people go, I want to watch that.
Well, you got to watch the episode or read the script and just figure out what is the promotable piece in the show. You do three spots. You do a 30-second, a 20-second, and a 10-second spot. You start with your 30. What is the promotable piece in the show? It just comes from experience, and you know, I run it by my senior vice president, and she'll say yay or nay, and then we go from there.
Okay, so you got to hire talent.
You got to hire talent.
And is there usually somebody who is specifically working on that one show?
Right? There is. Every show has their specific guy. It's the Million Dollar Voice guys in promo. It's Mike McCall. It's Aaron May. It's, of course, I'm drawing a blank when the camera's rolling. Okay. And there's three or four other ones. Reno Romano, of course, Reno. Mm-hmm. You know, so the hard part about breaking the promo is the executives are comfortable with the voices they're used to. And they like to retain them. But every now and then, someone comes along out of the blue and lands a show. So it's not an impossible task. So I encourage you to stay with it because, listen, when you get a job on a promo, it's $240 for the body, $93, I think, for the tags. It's usually three tags. You're doing a 30, a 20, to 10. Do all the math on that, and you're in and out in 15 minutes.
Okay, that sounds like nice work if you can get it.
Right.
Very interesting.
You get some of these guys that do 20 of these a day, and you understand why they're like own yachts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which is like taking a lot of money and throwing it in the water. But it's.
But what would Eric Shepard say about that?
It's like throwing money in the water. It's pretty much. Why would you want to do that? That's why he lives in Texas now. Anyway, so why is it that so few people are in that earning caliber? I mean, it seems that there is just a small cadre of people that are really succeeding in this business because it's hard to break in, as you were saying.
I just think it's what the good Lord gave them. They gave them a voice that cuts like a Ginsu. It cuts. Remember, when a promo has, you know, music and sound design behind it, and if your voice just has to cut through. You know, if you think about a guy like Mike, who we use on Jane the Virgin, Mike, I mean, his voice, I tell him that in sessions, your voice is like a Ginsu. It just cuts beautifully through, and it's, you know, and that's why. So.
Yeah. So, but there's also a lot of production that goes with it. So you're taking somebody's voice, there's music underneath it, you've got action sequences.
Sure. Going
through, but it's got to be able to float on top of that. And
it's got to be able to cut through all the audio design, as I like to say.
Right.
And that probably George would say that too.
That was definitely something that was unique about, you know, bringing up Don.
Yeah.
That's something that was unique about his voice.
Oh, he cut through.
It was deep.
That's a Ginsu.
But it also cut really
that's
well.
It.
It just was like that.
Yeah.
And you could put any mic on his voice. It didn't matter. And the couple years I worked with him, people sent him mics all the time because it was Don. They would send him whatever. I mean, it didn't matter what he used.
You know, I can hear a difference in mics now. I just want everybody to use a Sennheiser 416. That to me is the cleanest sound.
Yeah,
on my end of the business. Yeah. Sorry if Sennheiser is not a sponsor.
This is a pervasive promo mic. It's in almost every working studio in Hollywood.
I can hear the difference now.
Yeah.
There's that one mic that looks like what Jerry Lee Lewis used to sing into, which just looks like a box right here, and I can hear that mic.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
I'm not a techno whiz. I'm not George. Yeah.
That
yeah.
one there.
Yeah. No, those.
The MI-117, yeah. I think is what that was. Why they gave it that name, I'm not quite sure. But, so if someone has that God-given talent, what if you're trying to learn how to do that kind of stuff? Are you going to look at someone and go, this is not a voice that's ever going to work in this sort of thing? Or is it something that can really be learned? Or is there a trend for more unique voices that might actually sound a little, aren't deep voices? And female voices are starting to become very prevalent too.
It's funny that the trend now, it seems to be towards what everyone's called the conversational read.
Right.
And people are, and it's funny because Don's name comes up all the time. They just want people to be more relaxed in their reads. It's just I think the best of them all is Reno. He sounds wonderful in that conversational place.
Yeah. Give us an example of some of the shows that he does.
We hear him all over NBC. On our show, he does a show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I just love working with him. And he's just such a nice gentleman, too. He just, you know, if you ask him, hey, can you voice something for my kid's soccer team, whatever, he's glad to do it. You know, he's just, which I would say to all voiceover talent, if a producer asks you to do a favor for their kid's whatever team, do it. Boys, it just puts you in good graces, and it's just smart. It's just the smart way to go. But I think everybody knows that.
All right. Now you're teaching this. You're coaching people and producing demos for people because you want to make sure that only the best get in there and
right.
that people are doing things the way you want. You say you have a unique and specific approach in helping voiceover talent improve their promo skills. What is that?
Well, it goes in with the lessons. It's about really understanding. I believe that that reads have to pop, okay? Mm-hmm. And all the answers lie on the page for how to approach an audition. What are you going to do with your adjectives? Is there a dramatic mislead at the top that you can take advantage of? If you find yourself glossing over words, you are not in control of your read, okay? So you listen to that first take you do, and you hear like four words glossed over. Well, that's a failed read. Start again, okay? Understand what you're doing with every word, every sentence of your read. Then you are in control of your read. That's what you send to that's the MP3 you send to your agents.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're not glossing over it, but what is the approach that you need to take when you see that first sentence there? You've got to be able to grab people's attention with that first sentence.
Well, that's what the lessons are about. And, yeah. and it's hard to answer that question in a vacuum because it really is script dependent. Mm-hmm. But through the course of working with me, I give you all different kinds of scripts, comedies, dramas, you know, understated, overstated, you know, how to handle announcery things, which don't come along that often, but you need to know how to do them, how to do dude speak, you know, how to do light romantic comedies, you know? What's a bar fight read? That's a big part of what I teach. All that, it just comes into play as these auditions come up, the hardest thing in the world in your industry is how to manage a self-directed audition.
Yes.
There is nobody in your booth. You have no help. It feels like you're flying by the seat of your pants. And I'm just here to tell you there is a solution to the self-directed audition crisis, and that is understanding the script, and that's what I teach.
Right. So it's learning to break it down, understanding top right. to bottom, making sure that you understand the story that's trying to be
right.
told.
And just remember, all the answers lie on the page. That's the most important thing. If you get nothing out of this interview today, just remember those words. All the answers lie on the page.
They're right there.
Yes.
If you're just joining us, you've already missed a tremendous amount, so you have to go back and rewind and find what you missed. We're talking with Harry Dunn, who is a promo producer for a major network, or several major networks.
Just
or
one.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay. And but he's been doing this a while. He knows what he's doing. And if you have a question for him, throw it in the chat room. And Jack Daniel, our czar of social media, will be over there directing your questions to him in our next segment. So get those questions in there now. I'm sure you have a lot of them, if I haven't asked them already. So let me ask this one. This is one that everybody always asks. Do you have to be here in LA to really succeed at this?
I think in a given month, maybe one person comes in to the office to read. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes Reno does it because he wants to say hi to people. That's it.
Yeah.
Gets lonely.
Let's see now. Zach Fine lives in Long Island. I'm just trying to think. Mike's around in Sherman Oaks, I think, but he doesn't ever come in. He's got too much going on. I'm just trying to think of all the guys we have. Aaron May, I think, is in New York. Mendez, we were talking about.
He just moved out.
He's out here, but he's out in Westlake, Thousand Oaks.
Yeah.
So he's out there. No, it's just too hard to come in. It's just easier. It's just easier in ISDN. That's, you know, that's a technical question that, George, you can address why ISDN, the dinosaur, still lives over Source Connect. But, you know, there's a lot of problems, man. That IP-DTL crossover sometimes gets hiccups. I did a session one time with a crossover, and all the low end was just disappeared. So I asked the guy just to send me WAV files of the read, and suddenly the low end was back.
No kidding.
I have no idea why that was, but
yeah. Well, that's the great part about having a system like that is that you can record it from both ends.
Right.
And if you're not getting it on one end, you're going to get it on the other end.
Right.
So
I think it's always good to double end everything. I mean, unless it's just plain old ISDN and it's going to air in 15 because it's, you know, churn and burn. Maybe right. not then, but for everything else, recording double ender so you have a backup is obviously a really good idea. Because ISDN is becoming less reliable than it used to be. Source Connect, it's kind of getting the other direction. It's becoming more reliable.
Right.
It's just a matter of time before there's like a total seed change, you know? But that IPDTL, the IPDTL bridge is super slick. I mean, that's what's so cool. That's why actors love it. It's just an interface on a web page
right.
and you're on ISDN. But the back end of it is so complicated.
Right. You know,
there's so much going on under the hood. And it's very difficult to keep that reliability up of having, you know, a physical ISDN box, you know, that.
Yeah.
And that I think there's so many studios that have invested in it. It's part of their workflow. It's just they don't want to put down the coffee. This is the way we do things.
Right.
It's momentum, you know. So it's going to be around for, I don't know, a little while longer, I guess. Don't know till when, but.
Well, it works. I mean, I can't complain. It works. Yeah. Everything sounds great on it. So.
Right. Exactly. Now, one of the things that you do in teaching people this is you also produce demos. And
yes.
demos are, God, I think that everybody's like, I got to have the perfect demo. It's got to do this. It's got to do that. What's a promo demo supposed to have?
Well, first of all, demo is the most important thing you can have because if you don't have an agent, a demo will get you an agent and an agent will get you a job. But you're not going to get the agent without the demo. I mean, I've gotten people representation at William Morris, at Atlas, at Paradigm through my demos. It's just critical. The one place you do not want to skimp on financially is a demo. Okay, whether it's me or Eric or Chuck or Mary Lynn or Jay Howell, any of those people, you just want to make sure it's done the right way. Otherwise, you just wasted your money. Okay.
What goes into making?
Well, I haven't always done it just with students, but I normally just do just with students because I know who they are and I know how to market them and I know, you know, what kind of shows, you know, would work best with their voice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you've got a deep voice, but you've got a silly voice, so I would probably put something like a BoJack Horseman on your demo, or at the same time, I might do an NCIS. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might just bounce you around that way. You have a deep enough voice, you could do something horror, like a Penny Dreadful. You know, there's just things we can do. You just got to understand the voice. And if it just can't be like a You don't want to ever have a cookie cutter demo. You want to make sure the person doing your demo understands your voice and how to market it. You know, I just did a demo for a woman last year who just sounds so much like Aubrey Plaza. And Aubrey Plaza was a woman who played April Ludgate on Parks and Recreation, if you ever watched that show. I wrote a demo as if it was for Aubrey Plaza. And it's done great for her. She's gotten a lot of success out of it. So it's just understanding. That's the most important part. Whether it's me or somebody else, just don't chintz on your demo. That's too important.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're represented somewhere and you've been at a big agency for a while and you haven't heard from them in a while, what a new demo will do will just remind them who you are and what your voice is. And if it's a new interpretation on your voice, that'll generate some interest in an existing agent. You know, if you're getting two auditions a week and you're wondering why, and you give them a new demo and you're giving them a new outlook on how you do your craft, and then things will improve from there. You know, it may help you get a manager. You know, I don't just do network promos. I do sports promo demos, affiliate promo demos, and trailer demos. Just tapping into my old Don LaFontaine days. I remember them well.
Yeah.
And what went into those. And trailer demos are a completely different read. Everything's here. And you can't get much above here. It's got to be right here the whole way through.
It's really gotten into that whispery thing.
Yeah. But you got to be able to, how do you do whispery in comedy? How do you whispery in horror? How do you do whispery in heavy drama? I mean, trailer demos are very tricky. And I don't do them very often, but you have to be very advanced before you ask for one of those.
Okay. Now, explain what affiliate work is.
Affiliate work is like you turn on KTLA or the like news sweeps, where it's like the water you're drinking, is it filled with lead? Find out tonight on KTIV, Channel 5 News. That's an affiliate promo. And then it's like, you know, Steve Harvey is coming to WDIV at 3 o'clock. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's all the stuff you see.
You're always hearing call letters in a specific
correct
channel because
right
it's for a local channel.
Right. Like NBC is from like 8 to 11 at night, right? But what runs from 11 p.m. till 8 o'clock at night the next day, those 21 hours, is affiliate work. You know, the reruns of Seinfeld, the reruns of How I Met Your Mother, Ellen, Steve Harvey, the news. All that, that's all affiliate work. Mm-hmm. It's really 21 hours of the 24 hours of broadcast.
Yeah. Really? I mean, and
it's kind of an important demo to have.
Yeah,
totally.
If you don't have cable and you're watching off an antenna, you're going to catch a lot of programs that are doing that. So there's a lot more opportunity out there now.
Absolutely.
For doing this type of work, which means they can't have all the same people doing it.
No, there's a lot. They spread it out because you're talking about probably 200 to 300 markets out there, you know? Terre Haute, Indiana has a guy, as does Boston, Massachusetts, as does Little Rock, Arkansas, as does Los Angeles, California for KTLA 5. So there's a lot of work to be had. It's a great place to go.
Yeah. Well, and it's certainly something, you know, to aspire to, but much harder to get into than, say, just being able to do commercial work and all the industrial work that most people are doing. It's a very, very thin genre.
Right.
All right. Our guest is Harry Dunn, and if you've got a question for him on VoiceOver Body Shop, once again, throw it in the chat room, and we will ask him that question right after we take this little break. So don't go away.
Style. Power.
You're watching the home of the NFL.
The all-new iPhone.
Reserve your Disney World season pass now.
Through all the runny noses, 3 a.m. coughs,
an all-new American Crime Story, tonight on FX.
This week only, it's Pasta Fest at Olive Garden.
Heart rate? Prime. Blood pressure? Perfect.
I grew up with the classics, and now with StubHub, I can get authentic tickets to the best shows.
The all-new Chevy Cruze, from $16,995.
Be inspired. Then get the beauty that's uniquely yours at Sephora.
This week at Home Depot, it's our Garden Fest sale with up to 30% off all garden tools, sod, and seeds.
Hi, it's J. Michael Collins, and these are just a few examples of the first-class demos my team and I are producing. If you'd like to have something similar, visit jmcvoiceover.com and click on the Demo Production tab to find out more.
You know, one of the interesting things about if you're doing promo is that, you know, sometimes you got to pick up yourself and go somewhere and not be in your main studio. A lot of people ask about how do you record on the road? Now, I'm doing a webinar on it later this month. It's going to be great, talking about how, you know, what you do in a hotel room. But one of the ways you can really be great on the road is to have the right equipment that makes it easy for you to just unpack your stuff, set up your gear, and go. Because Harry will tell you, these guys have to be able to do it you know, we need to redo this one really fast, right? That happens. So what you want to do is you want to go over to voiceoveressentials.com, where Harlan Hogan has his great stuff there. The things that he has invented to make your job on the road a little bit easier. And those are the Portabooth Pro and the Portabooth Plus. Those are great little units because they were really designed with a Sennheiser 416 in mind, because that's what Harlan would use. And of course, he has all sorts of stories about, you know, what's the best way to record on the road, especially if they put you in a hotel room next to the Coke machine, sneak out in the hallway and unplug it. That's what the man says. But after you do that, use your Portabooth Pro or Portabooth Plus because they're easy to travel with. They fit in the luggage rack in a plane. The TSA is like, oh, that fits, no problem. You carry it on there, but you can carry all your stuff in there. Your mic, your computer, all those things fit into that one thing, and you can carry it around, and that's the way you record on the road. You got to learn how to use it. It's not like set it up, oh, I'm not working. There's a technique to it, but we'll show you how to do that. But if you want one, if you want a Portabooth Pro or a Portabooth Plus, along with all sorts of other great gear that Harlan has over at voiceoveressentials.com, that's where you go, voiceoveressentials.com. Best way to get there really is to go to the bottom of our page, look at that picture of Harlan talking into a Portabooth Pro. You'll tell it's the guy with the really nice wavy gray hair from behind. And he's got his headphones on and he's talking into one of his Portabooth Pros. Click on that. It'll take you right there. And you will see the multitude of things that Harlan has for sale at voiceoveressentials.com. So go over there right now, or after the show, or right now, or while you're watching the show, and buy everything he has there, especially a Portabooth Pro or a Portabooth Plus, and anything else that he has there, like the Signature Series headphones, or the VO1A microphone, or all the other things that he has to make your life in your booth more tolerable. So go over on there right now. And thanks, Harlan, for being our sponsor for 7 years. What are you thinking? All right, we'll be right back with Harry Dunn in just a minute.
Harry, aside from, we know who's good at everything. Who do you?
All right. And as Harry Dunn reads the questions in advance to make sure he knows exactly what to say, let's go to some of our audience questions here. For example, Jim Edgar asks, do you tend to book promo actors for the full run of shows or more broadly by genre? For example, comedy versus true crime. In other words, more shows, more opportunities, or cast by type?
We will book one voiceover talent for a particular show. There's not multiple voiceover guys, and it's basically who sounds right. Comedy voices sound different than the really good drama voices, and especially with superhero shows, we've got to get that deep voice. Right. You want one of those guys. So I think hopefully that answers the question.
All right. Well, it certainly does. And, if you want to follow up on that question, make sure you ask that one. Mr. Whittem.
All right. This one's from Maurice A. Scott, and he asks, do you receive residuals for promos also?
I'm not in the payroll department, but I'm fairly certain that on reruns you get paid again. Yes, you get paid.
Yeah. But how often does a promo get rerun?
Sure.
Summer reruns. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Summer reruns. It'll get I had a friend, I knew a guy that worked on a promo for a network. He goes, I just got paid, and I don't know why I got paid. I go, well, I don't know. Did it rerun whatever it was you voiced? And he goes, oh yeah, it's rerunning this week. And he just got money magically appeared. So yes, you do get residuals.
All right.
Bingo. No, I'm just glad to hear that.
Yeah, really.
Dan, this is from Deirdre.
Deirdre Holly asks, if the read trend is conversational, often words are glossed over in natural conversation. Where do you find the balance?
Well, it's just, the best I can do is act it out for you. The last question was, where do you find the balance? Here's an example of it glossed over. Where do you find the balance? Here's where you lift some of those. Where do you find the balance? Right there, I stayed conversational, but I gave you lifts on certain words. Okay, you can still be conversational and still hit your adjectives, still hit your dismounts, which is the last word of a sentence. You don't have to gloss over because it's conversational.
Good to know. If you're someone's in the booth and you're working with them, and as you say, you're mostly working remotely with them.
Right.
You're talking over ISDN or something. you can say, you know, give me another one of those. How many takes usually does it take for someone to get it?
Oh, you know what? There's not a lot of time. You know, eight minutes usually covers a session.
Wow.
Guy like Mike, he's in and out in 10 minutes. Maybe it depends how many scripts we have to do. But I always ask for, I'm really big on adjectives. They're written for a reason, so perform them for a reason, you know? You know, if we're talking about dire consequences, dire is an adjective. Would you go, it's a person with, it's a situation with dire consequences. No, you go with dire consequences. Take advantage of what the adjective means and kind of act it out a little bit. That's just a little thing we do in my lessons. Talk about adjectives and figure out what the retail is, meaning what, you know, what is drawing the viewer to our network? Day, date, time, network, name of show, so on and so forth. There's a bunch of retail that's in scripts that needs to be inflected. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. So sometimes we refer to some voice actors as voice over actors. There's a subtlety to promo that we all hear that, you know, as you're saying, these guys have great voices, but they also can just make it happen. That they,
you mean the guys who go voiceover 101? We don't hire those people.
Okay, good to know. Jack Daniel has a question and he gets to ask it himself.
Hi, Harry. Hey, aside from Reno, who's good at everything? Who do you like as an exemplar of the whisper read you were talking about earlier for whatever genre, horror or something like that? And maybe can this bar fight read you were talking about, who's a good exemplar of that?
Okay, just using people that work in our network. I'm really a huge fan of Mike McCall. I bring up his name again. I just did a promotional campaign for a really touching show about people who are facing terminal illness and they're granted like a wish in life. And I had Mike voice it. And Mike just went to this really lovely place right around here. I'm a terrible voiceover. Those who can't do, teach. Okay. But he's got to this really lovely place. And it's just like, he's like a one-take guy with that stuff. And so that's an example of what he can do. A bar fight read is when you're doing our superhero shows, you know, Arrow, all new. No, I can't do the voice. But
Arrow, all new.
Yeah. That's a bar fight read is something I teach in class to prevent people from overacting. And I say, this is the situation. There's two guys in a bar. One guy is about 6'4", 225. He's pretty ripped. He used to be a Navy SEAL. The other guy is about 5'9", 60 pounds overweight, and he's sloppy drunk. So the sloppy drunk guy goes up to the ex-SEAL and wants to pick a fight. Now, the SEAL knows who's going to win that fight. Everybody surrounding them in the bar knows who's going to win that fight. The only one who doesn't know how he's going to win that fight is the dumb drunk guy who's starting the fight in the first place. So the question is, does the SEAL have to yell, "Dude, I'm going to mess you up"? Absolutely not. Because when you know you're going to win the fight, you don't ever have to raise your voice, okay? People who raise their voices are people trying to gain a psychological edge because they're not sure if they win the fight or not. So what is the guy going to say? He's going to get, "Dude, I'm going to tell you this once. Back off or you're going to get hurt." And like everyone in the bar is like going, "God, back off, you're going to get killed." Because that voice is more intimidating than a guy who yells.
Yeah.
That's called a bar fight voice. And that's another thing I teach is how to do that voice. That's the way you handle heavy, like DC Comics kind of drama. Okay.
Interesting.
Very cool.
All right.
I've never heard that described before. That's really interesting.
That's proprietary. You can't have it.
And we'll
make a point of that.
Trademarked, folks. Trademarked.
Yeah. You know, again, our guest is Harry Dunn. If you got a question for him, throw it in the chat room. This is fascinating stuff and stuff that we need to learn. Throw it in the chat room right now, and we'll get it to him before the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. George? We got one from our very own in the audience tonight, Fred North. Oh. Fred, would you fire away?
Now, this is a two-parter. First of all, can I market directly to stations for the affiliate work, or is that through an agent? And is it all union?
I think I know people who have gotten affiliate work on their own, but there are agencies that specialize in it. I know Atlas is really, really strong in affiliates. That's a great agency to be at if you want to do affiliates. As for union, I just don't know the answer to that. I think it's, I would say in the smaller markets, it's not. But certainly in LA would be union. It's always good to be in SAG. SAG is your friend. It costs $3,000 to join. It's the best $3,000 you'll ever spend. Just do it. You get insurance. You get jobs. You don't have to deal with voices.com. It's just everything about it is spot on. There, SAG is where you want to be.
Well, and
something to aspire to for sure.
Yeah, you got to get there.
Yeah.
Question from Kim Fuller.
Kim Fuller, what is the ratio of work men to women for promo?
In network, it's about 99-1, but in cable, it's more balanced. Yeah. I think that's a great place for women to start is cable. And I'm not talking about Army Wives or anything. There's just a lot of shows out there that have women voices. And I think, you know, I think on cable, also like FXX, like I love the woman who does Archer, the English woman who does Archer. I think that's a funny voice. Certainly, sometimes on Bravo, you hear a woman as opposed to a man. So, listen, here's how I look at female voiceover. And if you go back 20 years ago to ESPN, okay? ESPN had 20, 25 years ago, they had three anchors. They had Robin Roberts, they had Linda Cohn, and they had somebody who I'm forgetting. And I don't know why that is. Maybe because there's a camera on me. And no sideline reporters, okay? Cut to 2018, I would say 50% of the ESPN anchors are women, and probably 90% of the sideline reporters are women. So life is cyclical. You know, you just don't know where it's going to go. Just because there's not a lot of women in promo today doesn't mean it's going to be that way 20 years from now. So just keep working your craft, you know?
Yeah. Be there when the time is right.
Correct.
The luck favors the
prepared. Worked out at ESPN. It'll work out, you know.
All right. Here's a name we have not heard in a long time. Diane Costello-Merritt. Good friend of ours who used to hang around our show all the time, but I guess she got busy on Monday nights. But it's great to see her.
Life happens.
It does. But it's great to see her here. And she asks, I've noticed some trailers lately without trailer voices. Is that a new trend?
It's not some trailers. It's pretty much all trailers now.
Uh-oh.
It's just, you know, so when we talk about booking trailers, what you're really booking also are the TV spots that come with the trailers. Where you say, you know, rated R, it starts Friday at a theater near you. That's some of the voice you do in trailers. But yeah, because dialogue has gotten so much better in movies that you can just sell it with dialogue. You don't need the voiceover. So that's why it's going on. The movies are different. The trends are different. It's just a great way to sell a movie. It's just with the dialogue.
Is it also because the trailer editors, the trailer houses are getting better at the trailer cut? So they're just getting better at bringing the story to the trailer?
Watch any Lord of the Rings trailer, okay? You're not going to hear a spot of VO because that dialogue is so specific to how to market that thing, you know. It really is the way to go. Now, sometimes in comedies, you'll have a nice light read, okay? A nice conversational light read, you know, The Wild Wedding, something, a movie like that, you know? And then they have voiceover. But normally, I would say probably 80% of the movies now don't have VO.
Yeah. Do you think that's a trend and that's going to cycle around? I mean, how the
everything
heck do you
cycles
know, right?
around.
Everything cycles, right?
Your boy Don LaFontaine used to voice all the trailers and now there's like no voice. So, you know? It's just, listen, life is cyclical. Yeah. Come on.
And when I worked with him, he was doing comedies.
Oh,
because now,
Fox.
By that point, he was sort of, it was more ironic. Right. You know, it was like Don doing the trailer voice guy on the Simpsons movie.
Right.
You know, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's funny.
And then was doing the trailers for the Simpsons for Fox.
Right, so exactly.
Pretty interesting stuff. Our producer, Catherine Curran, did
very
a question.
Own.
Yes.
Harry, do you want to mention how you use music in your coaching?
Music is your friend. Spotify is your friend. If you're doing a promo and you need to find the right energy, let's say it's a competition promo like The Voice or something, and you want to get big, the right energy, look at the copy and go, what genre of music would be driving this spot? Okay. So I teach a script where it's a competition. It was between the Brits and the Americans. And they were all yelling at each other. And I said, that's stadium rock. Okay. Really? You know? So I said, you have your choice of three songs. You can go Gary Glitter's Rock and Roll. You can go Machine Head by Bush. Or the one I completely said you need to use is Thunderstruck by AC/DC. So what I'll have them do is I'll have them put Thunderstruck in their cans and read the script. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, play back your first read. And I go, all right, now play back the one when you're reading it to Thunderstruck, and they're like, whoa! So music is your friend. Spotify is your friend. Noise-canceling headsets are also your friend. Those three together will give you a much superior audition.
That's interesting because in radio, back when I would produce commercials, it's like, got to pick the right music. And that's what would drive the read. And because of the pacing and all that stuff is there. But we don't, as voice actors in our own little studios here, we don't generally get the chance to do that.
You know, I can hear you right now going, you're listening to Albuquerque's best rock, 97.5.
I actually once did. In Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Yeah. Kim Fuller asks, what is the preferred age of voices for promo? Is this something that's also a change that changes with trends?
We like 9-year-olds. No. No, there's no preferred age. It really is the voice. Sometimes you want to skew younger. Sometimes it doesn't matter. It really is. Cream rises to the top. Age is irrelevant.
Mm. All right. Devox has his annual question.
Oh, we got one squeezed in there from Devox.
Yeah.
How many reads minimum or maximum for a promo demo? How many seconds for each cut in the demo?
Okay. So, the minimum and the maximum happen to be the same number, which is 6. I am a big believer that for a promo demo to work, it's got to sound like it aired on the network of which the promo is. Okay. So I don't like them to be short. I like them to run 90 seconds. I think 15 seconds each. It's not going to be literally 15 seconds each, but it's got to sound like it aired on the network. Okay. You know, you're doing a Netflix show, you're doing an ABC show, something on FXX, you're doing something on CBS, maybe on Bravo and on the Travel Channel. Okay. They've got to sound like they aired on those respective networks. If they don't, it's a failed promo demo.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Makes sense.
All right.
Oh, one last thing. How do we reach you?
Yes.
How do we find
you
on the internet?
See that? All right.
Where it is right
Harry
there.
At dunpromo.com. Harry at dunpromo.com is how you get a hold of me. And please do. And if you go to that website, which is dunpromo.com, it'll also give you a link to the how to contact me via email. And hit me up, because I love getting emails, because I'm not particularly popular. And when I get them, it makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Especially when they write your name on it, which is, makes it even better.
Hello, Harry.
Except for the fact when it's like Dear and the rest of it, and Harry Dunn's in a different font, that worries me.
Yeah.
Very good. Harry, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is great. And more important information that you need to know. So check them out. All right. We'll be right back and wrap things up into a nice tight little ball right after this.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
All right, we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So I love having all these guests. I mean, we've been doing this show for 7 years, and it just amazes me the huge breadth of people we've had on this show.
And we've had very few repeats in the last 2 years, which we may, you know, we would like to revisit a few of our favorite guests over time. If you guys have a favorite guest of the past, you know, that you've seen on the show, even going back to our EWABS days, you'd like to see them again, let us know.
Absolutely.
We'd love to bring back some of our, you know, some of your favorites from the past.
Absolutely. You know? Well, next week, you're not going to hear anybody. No, because it's Memorial Day, and we want to pay tribute to those that have given their lives in service of our country and eat hot dogs. Or in your case, not dogs.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, the field roast hot dogs are fantastic.
I'll have to try them this year.
Yeah.
We'll be off next week. But one, because we deserve it, because we do this show every week. But on June 4th, we will return for another week. We will. Because
I'll be here.
Yes. We will be joined live from Scotland by Philip Banks.
Like live?
Live.
He does know what time the show is on, doesn't he?
I don't think the man sleeps.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A very outspoken member of the voiceover community. Absolutely. Used to have some major rants over on the VOBB.
VOBB. That's how I got to know him, on the VO-BB.com.
Yeah. Has an opinion about stuff, so it's going to be worth listening in when he talks to us.
An earned, let's just be clear, an earned opinion.
Oh, the guy's a pro. What can I say?
He's a pro. He's been at this a long time.
Yeah. We will be off again on June 11th because my son Jacob is actually graduating. The reason we came to California at Exceptional Minds, he'll be actually graduating.
All right.
And hopefully moving on into the world of animation. So if you need to hire an animator, I have a son who's a very good animator. But we will be back the week after that with a certain guest who has yet to be revealed.
We are in the planning stages, folks.
Absolutely. Who are our donors of the week?
Donors are these familiar names you've heard me say on the show many times, such as Tracy H. Reynolds, Eric Aragoni, Andrew Kaufman. We had one from a good friend of ours that's been in our fan roundtables. Howard Ellison has been here.
All the way from England.
Yes. And
we've never heard him when he's tried to be on the show, but maybe next
time.
Yeah,
he has the occasional issue getting himself heard on the show. Let's see what else. If I click down into, sometimes it shows you the name. Sometimes it doesn't. And
yeah. You're
just like, come on, be nice. Let's see. We got one from, it's so weird how it's being unresponsive right now. You're on Google. How many of you guys use inbox from Google versus Gmail? Let me know. I'm thinking of going leaving the inbox again and going back to Gmail. It's been really funky lately. It's like right now.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you to everybody that has sponsored the show. We really, really appreciate that little extra boost we get. You can do a one-time one-time sponsor. You can just send us a little donation on the website, or you can subscribe, you know, once a month, $1 if you want, whatever it works for you. We really, really appreciate that little extra boost.
Yeah, because we can't do this show for nothing. All this equipment costs money, and the time and the people that we hire to come in here. So we appreciate your time and your effort watching the show, but also helping support us, like on public television.
Cable. What do you think, Sue? Is this like cable access? Our TD is our. She had quite some time in cable access. So yeah. She does.
Wayne's World.
Okay. Yeah.
Once again, and we make no bones about it. This show is about shameless promotion of what it is we do. And if you need help with your home studio, who goes first?
Oh man!
No, not Harry Dunn.
Age Before Beauty. Hey, GeorgeTheTech.com is where you find my brand of tech support. And Dan, where do they find you?
They will find me not at dunpromo.com. They will find me at homestudiomaster.com and drop off a specimen of your audio, and we'll give it a listen. And if you need some help, we'll talk. All righty. You have a geeky podcast you're doing.
Yeah, that geeky podcast. We get into some interviews with talent as well, but sometimes we geek out a bit. And it's me, it's Robert Marshall from Source Elements. So he geeks out big time.
He's a geeker.
Darren Robertson, who's a producer in Australia. And then the leader of the band here is Andrew Peters, a voice actor from Australia. Also, we do this, we try to release 2 a month. So if you want to subscribe, it's called The Pro Audio Suite.
Give it a listen. Okay.
The
show logs. Jack DeGolia, I think he's still here with us this week, but we're still looking for someone to help him out to do the show notes while he is away. I'm not sure where he's going, but...
Yeah, here's what he said. He says for him, doing the show notes is really helpful for him personally because it makes him watch the show every week, and when he types out those notes, it hardwires it into your brain a lot more. So he's probably getting more out of the show because he's doing that. So if you think that would be useful to you, it might be something worth giving a shot and give us a hand. We'd appreciate it. It is a voluntary position.
Right. But if you want to watch the show notes are there so you can go to right exactly where it is that you can hear the stuff that you want to hear.
Time stamped right there on YouTube.
That's amazing that he does that. And you can get there by just going to the upper right hand corner of our webpage here, which is soon to be revised.
Yeah, there's a new one cooking.
And you can smell the garlic in it. It's starting
more
to
garlic.
Just a little bit of an essence. We'll see it in a couple of weeks here. Let's see here. But there's also a podcast of the show. Very popular. If you want to hear the podcast of this show, instead of watching us drone on and on for an hour and a half, you can actually just listen.
That's right. The audio version is available on any podcatching app like iTunes and, you know, Stitcher, anything like that. We should be available. If you're on a particular podcast platform and you can't get a hold of us, please do let us know. We want to make sure we're on that platform.
Right.
But then for those of you who are listening, conversely, maybe you want to watch the show live sometime. So we're on Monday nights at
9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 Pacific.
And 9:30 Newfoundland.
9:30 in Newfoundland, eh? See, now, only people from the Northeast who used to watch Hockey Night in Canada would know that. But then again, there seems to be a lot of Canadians and people.
We have fans everywhere. That's why we know that.
That's how we know that.
We didn't Google that.
Had it used to turn the antenna towards Toronto so we could actually pick up the Canadian station.
We bounce it off
station.
The CN Tower and makes a right.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's see. Hey, if you want to be in the studio live like we have tonight, it's easy to do. Just write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'm going to be hanging out in Redondo Beach, and I want to be able to come see the show on Monday night. Can I do that?
And Fred, I don't mind traffic, so I'm going to come on up.
Fred North did that for the second time, and he's joining us tonight. So write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, hey, I'm going to be here. Can I come in? Can I learn the secret handshake? And we'll get you in here.
And if you're looking at the lower third, that's theguys@
Right.
VOBS.TV.
Right. Because
if you go to wherever that domain was.
You're going to be lost.
Sue, I have to go buy another domain. And now I need to go buy the guys at VOBS.TV.
Right. And put the subject line, audience.
Yeah.
Also, we need to thank our sponsors.
Yep.
Like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VO2GoGo.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos.
And we, of course, need to thank Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage.
The garage.
Our producer, Catherine Curran, for getting us great guests like Harry Dunn tonight. Jack Daniel on chat room duty and social media czardom.
And YouTube tweaking.
Yes, and all that kind of stuff. Our floor producer, technical director, and chief spelling officer, Sue Merlino. Did a great job tonight. Of course, Jack DeGolia for the show notes, and Lee Penny simply for being Lee Penny. And I must also mention, I have to congratulate my son, Lewis, for graduating with his master's degree on Saturday.
Congratulations, Lewis.
And it's Jacob's 21st birthday today.
Holy
cow. Would you like me to take you out for a drink? I don't think so.
What a modern son he is.
It's like it's a dream come true.
He doesn't want to drive or drink.
Yes.
You're such a lucky guy.
I really am going to save us so much in the long run.
Yes, he is.
Anyway, we know this is not a hard, this is a very tough business. It's very competitive. Harry was explaining it to us tonight. The way you're going to get better at it is information. We're here to help you, especially with your home voiceover studios, but also bringing you great guests. So tune in here almost every Monday night for VoiceOver Body Shop, and we'll bring those people to you. That's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
Yeah.
Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night.